If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to Hebrews chapter 10 and follow along as I read beginning at verse 19. Hebrews 10 and 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. We've come this morning to hear from you. Take your word, your servant. May we handle it accurately. Present it clearly. So that your word can have your desired impact. May we leave here with your word ringing in our hearts and in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Therefore, brethren, almost always when you see the word therefore, it's good to ask yourself, what is it therefore? Except for this time. Now, if I were writing this, I wouldn't have put the therefore there. You'll see why in just a moment. So hang on to that. But he's addressing brethren. Now, as you know, almost all of Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, written by Jews. Now, not all of it, but almost. And whenever the Apostle Paul, and certainly this fellow, whoever he is, uses the word brethren, there are at least two different ways he would use it. And you got to go look at the context to figure out what he's talking, who he's addressing. He could be addressing his fellow Jews, saved or unsaved. He will do that later. Not today, but next time. It'll be clear that he's switching his audience. But here, we've read the passage, so hopefully it's clear to you as well. Here, he's addressing his Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ, and wanting to encourage them and make sure they keep in place all that they need to be encouraged and to encourage one another. Therefore, well, sometimes it's not only a look back, but also a look ahead. So see here in the middle of verse 19, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. Since we have confidence. There's a combination here, down at the end of verse 20, his flesh, his body. At the end of verse 19, Jesus' blood. Sound familiar? Remember the illustration that Jesus gave his disciples on the night in which he was betrayed? He told them that he would be giving his body for them, and his blood would represent a new covenant or a new way that God would be working with mankind. So this writer, addressing Jewish Christians, using that picture that came out of the Passover, Old Testament, now with a New Testament meaning, illustration, wanting them to see that we can have confidence in the body and the blood of Jesus, have confidence in his entering the holy place. My Bible says, yours maybe says most holy. Now, all that he wrote was holy, but to help us with the context, some English Bibles put in that note most, because you know he's talking about what elsewhere in Scripture refers to as the Holy of Holies, that next place. There was the one place that all could see where the high priest or where the priest regularly worked and offered incense and sacrifice and all of that, but once a year, he and only he, the high priest, could go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle blood upon the Ark of the Covenant in obedience to the Word of God. Now we have confidence in the one who himself went in offering his body and his blood for us. And he went into that most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. But notice verse 20 says, by a new and this is important, new and living way. All of that blood that was offered in the tabernacle and then later in the temple represented death. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. And Israel saw over and over and over and over again, the wages of sin is death. That's what God required. But that one final sacrifice that will give us confidence is a living sacrifice. Because Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of Mary, the very Son of God himself, he could prove through his death, burial, and resurrection that he is who he says he is, the very Son of God, our Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, the Living One. It was not just one more death for sin. It was the final sacrifice, one that only God himself could offer. And that, my friends, is where our confidence lies. Not in ourselves, but in his finished work. We have this confidence, therefore, since we have this confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Jesus gave his body and his blood for us as an atonement, a payment for our sins. And John would say later, not our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And he proved it with the resurrection. Since we have confidence, and verse 21, since we have a great priest over the house of God. Now, let's answer this question first. Who is the house of God? Why, it's a church, this wonderful building that was built many, many years ago. No. Who is, what is the house of God? Well, it is his church, capital C, the body of Christ, believers. That's one more way to refer to us, genuine believers, since we have a great priest, we have in Jesus the perfect mediator. The perfect one to stand between. The plea of Job. I could much better understand what I'm going through if I had someone who I could talk to who really understood me, and as he heard me, really understood God. I need somebody who stands between us. I need a mediator. That's Jesus, the God-man. We have a perfect great priest. Now, if I were writing this, and I'm not, we're both thankful for that, this is where I would put the word therefore. Since we have confidence, since we have a great priest, therefore, but that's not how he did it. He wanted us to know that I'm about to encapsulate everything we've gone through about Jesus and who he is and the significance of him and the comparison between who he is and what he did and all of those priests and high priests who served, some very, very faithfully and obediently, what they did and who they were. The great difference between the two. Therefore, let us, verse 22, draw near. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Draw near with a sincere heart. That word sincere means without defect, without cracks. There was a way, there is a way, to repair pottery with wax. And then when carefully and professionally covered, the crack can't be seen anymore. Until you put something in that pot that challenges that fix. So it wasn't uncommon for some unscrupulous dealers to repair something and then sell it as genuine, as sincere, without wax. So you get it home, use it a couple of times, and who's to say how that broke? Let us draw near with a sincere heart, full of assurance of faith. So you know we're starting to make a transition from all that has happened to what we need to do, and we keep getting drawn back to all that has been done for us. With a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean and our bodies washed with pure water. Now there's a part of that in context here that reminds us of what the Old Testament high priest had to do on the Day of Atonement. He had to wash himself. He had to offer a sacrifice for himself. And then he could offer a sacrifice for the people. The writer is describing the act of sanctification. That's that fancy word for having been identified as one of Christ's, one of his, and then beginning the process of becoming more and more like him. And how does that happen? How does that change come about? Well, it's cooperating, and that's the extent of our involvement. It's cooperating with the work of the Holy Spirit and obedience to the Word of God. That's how we become more and more like Christ. So there's a sense in which we have been sanctified because God looks at us as a completed project. But we're also involved in the process of becoming more and more like Christ. That's what you and I see in one another as we grow and as we mature. But there will come a day when we'll get to see one another just exactly as God sees us now. A completed project. Let us draw near. Let us, verse 23, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast our confession, our statement of faith. What is it that we believe? What is it that we know to be true? And where do you find that? Hold it without wavering, because the one who promised is faithful. I know we are saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. But do you know what verse 10 says? For, or because, how does all that work? Because we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And we read earlier, Philippians 1 and 6, he who began a good work in you will complete it. That's who we are. We have this confession. We know what God's word says, and we should know it and know then what we believe and hold on to it without wavering, without compromise, because the one who gave it is faithful. And the one who's working within us is faithful. And then finally, verses 24 and 25, let us consider. With all of this, we have confidence, we have a great high priest, we can draw near, we can hold fast. Now he's saying, take all of this and apply it this way. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Your Bible maybe says spur one another. I like that word. You know, I'm an old Western kind of guy. You know, cowboy gets on his steed and sticks in the spurs and off he goes. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good works. That's a responsibility that you and I have to one another. How can we encourage one another? How can we push even a little bit to understanding and being involved more in loving one another and not only saying it, but doing it? And then he says later in verse 25, encouraging one another. Sometimes we have to challenge, but regularly it's just as good to come along and say, you know, thank you for doing that. Thank you for seeing that and doing it. Thank you for caring. Thank you for praying. So stimulate or challenge one another. Encourage one another. Then back up at the beginning of verse 25. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. What was happening in the first century is the same thing that can happen in the 21st century. For a variety of reasons, church becomes uncomfortable, inconvenient. And do we really need to go to church? I mean, the sun's starting to come out. It's a beautiful day. Do you really want to be here? Couldn't you worship God out there? Well, you can and you should. But you can't worship corporately. You can't worship in a way that says we love you and we love one another out there all by yourself. And so they were deciding, some of them, that church just wasn't worth the effort. And as soon as you do that, you eliminate accountability. You eliminate any other input into what you're understanding and learning about the Word of God. You've eliminated any service or care for one another. And the writer is saying, don't do that. You need to be together regularly. It was very important in the writings of the Apostle Paul. He knew that there were times, there were days, there were weeks when you wouldn't know the next time you got together whether so-and-so would be there, whether they were even here or not. And they longed to get together because then they could find out, who do we need to be helping? So-and-so has lost his job for his faith. So-and-so lost the breadwinner because of their faith. Well, church, we need to be doing something. And how do you know that if we never get together or never find out about the needs of one another? So he says, don't do that. Get together regularly, worship corporately, listen to one another so that you know better how to pray for one another, how to meet the needs of one another. And then at the end of verse 25, as you see the day drawing near. Now, this would apply in a variety of ways, but at least one is this. We have an opportunity to serve, to love, to give, to do for one another. Whether it's a reference to Jesus returning and the end of this age, or whether it's a reference to the fact that soon we will see Jesus going through that pathway of death. You've heard me say this before. As I look out over this group, through my aging eyes, I know that it's not going to be long for most of us. And it's only a lifetime for all of us that we're going to see Jesus. This is the time we have to serve. This is the time we have to love, to encourage, to challenge. And every day brings us closer to the end of this time, this opportunity. All the more reason to get together regularly, listen to, learn from, and encourage one another. Since we have confidence in a great priest, verses 19, 20, and 21, let us draw near, hold fast, and encourage one another. Verses 22 to 25. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately, presented it clearly. And as a result, then, we can determine whether we can leave here encouraged or challenged or both. we are not Jewish. So some of the illustrations aren't quite as personal for us. But the truth is still there. We have confidence in the finished work of Christ. And He, the one who did it all for us, is our great priest. He's the one who stands between us, the God-man. Man himself, God himself, the unique Son of God, our mediator. Only because of Him we can draw near. Only because of the way that You fashioned this great plan of redemption can we hold fast. And only because of the privilege that we've been given can we meet together, challenge one another, and encourage one another, spurring us on to love and good works. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.